You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Tim Burton's movie for morbid children, am I right?
No, it's Miss Peregrine's Home for Gifted Youngsters, I believe, is the
full title. Actual name?
Yes, Professor Peregrine's Home for Extraordinary Youngsters.
Tim Burton's Home for Trying to Recover from Alice in Wonderland 2.
Yes, yes.
Which I think overall is successful.
What, Alice in Wonderland 2?
No.
How dare you?
Recovering from Alice in Wonderland 2 with this movie.
Yes, no, I would agree with that entirely.
Yeah, this is Brian Salisbury, by the way.
No, you're Chris Cox. I'm Brian Salisbury.
Damn it, I always get that wrong.
Yeah, you need to keep that straight. I know we've had a lot of drinks at Fantastic Fest, but come on.
But not even today.
Not even today.
Well, no, to be fair, I'm still drunk from last night.
Everyone is still drunk from last night.
Last night, this morning, they kind of flow into each other.
This is day 12, yes?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Sure.
Yeah. Of the first Fantastic Fest.
The very first Fantastic Fest of all time.
I think that Fantastic Fest is a time loop.
It is a time loop, yeah.
In the movie.
We walked into this little nook / murder corner of the Alamo Drafthouse and went back to 2000 when the first Fantastic Fest happened.
12 years ago.
Yes, okay, so yeah. That 12 years
when
ago.
When that was.
With math.
Well, see, we're film critics, which means by default we're not good at math.
No math.
We hire other people to work the operations on the computer.
Yes. All of this is true.
Computer. So we saw Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children.
We did.
And I was super worried that it was just going to be yet another Tim Burton masturbation session.
I really was worried that this Tim Burton film was going to be another Tim Burton film. That was my biggest concern with the movie. And it turns out this is more of a Guillermo del Toro film.
Kind of, but with almost old-school Tim Burton-y touches.
Very old-school Tim Burton touches, and I will admit that the things that reminded me very much of del Toro are from the source material, because it's very in-story content, very del Toro elements. But what that did in service of putting Tim Burton back on the right track is it added heart, it added stakes, it added weight. Like, all of the things that have been missing from Tim Burton movies for the last, I don't know how many years.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not just, like I said, I'm not just being an asshole when I say Tim Burton masturbation films like Alice in Wonderland, which just feel like I want to do this effect, and I want to do this effect, and I want to do this effect, but there's no real story or depth to characters or anything.
Yeah, they're style tests. You know, they're like Adobe Premiere, you know, effects tests. They're not really films. They don't have any weight to them. They don't have any heart to them. They don't really exist as pieces of art. They just are, they're images that are completely ephemeral. Like, they'll pass by your eyes once, you'll go, oh, that was pretty, and you'll never remember anything that happens in them.
And maybe he's helped here by the fact that there is such strong base material to work from, which I've not read, but now I actually want
to. Oh, God, I want to go back and read this.
Yeah, there's a whole series of these. I don't know how many, but
I'm hoping, and this is crazy to say because it's Tim Burton, I'm hoping there are more movies of this, because about halfway through this movie, I thought, I could watch the adventures of these kids in different times, in different places. I'll watch that all day. Like, they really do a great job of building this world, making you care about the characters, providing adventure, providing some horror elements that I thought were shockingly effective.
Not to mention the Ray Harryhausen tribute.
Oh my God, yes.
That I was like clapping like a little kid in glee at that sequence.
When you see what's coming, when you're like, they're not gonna, oh yes, they're gonna, and then yes, I was very happy
about
that.
Totally sweet. Well, the plot here, in case you haven't watched the umpteen billion trailers that have come out already for this, is that Asa, what's his face?
Butterfield.
Well, I was gonna say Longbottom.
Or as I call him, Cake Poker.
Why Cake Poker?
Because on the set of, one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on any set visit was on Ender's Game, when he was by himself at the dessert table, poking his finger into all of the cakes.
What?
I don't know what he was doing, I don't know what the purpose was, but it was still one of the weirdest things I've ever seen on any set ever. So for me, he is always Cake Poker.
I've always suspected he's kind of a weird kid.
He's got a little bit of a Cake Poker tendency.
Probably perfect to work with Tim Burton.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless he takes him to the next level.
He activates
his second mutation.
Is that the next level?
Cake Diddler. Let's face it, the kid's like 15 or something now.
That's happened. Yeah.
Yeah, he watches American Pie one scene on repeat.
It's not called Pound Cake for nothing, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
wow.
I like what just happened.
Two minutes into the review.
movie.
I know, right? So anyway, he his grandfather is Terrence Stamp. Nice to see Terrence Stamp again.
Yeah, it is. It is nice. It's funny to like care about Terrence Stamp, like be like the kindly old grandfather. Yeah. It's like, really?
Yeah.
Terrence Stamp? Okay.
Right. Well, you know, after Superman beat him, he's like, well, fuck this.
Yeah. You before granddad, so I can tell you a story.
Yeah, and he's has a strong relationship with his granddad, who had grown up with him, telling him all these stories of the Miss Peregrine's world, which we'll get to in a minute. And, you know, he got older, and his dad is like, yeah, that's all bullshit, and he started to fall, and that's bullshit, but I love my granddad. But granddad's in trouble. Something attacks him, and he goes to try and help him and finds his granddad lying there dying with his eyes removed.
Yes.
And says, go to the location on the map.
Find the loop.
Yeah,
find which the I thought loop. Meant Joseph Gordon-Levitt was going to show up at some point, but apparently not.
No, that's find the looper.
Oh, correct. Yes.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah. So he manages to somehow convince his father to take him to Wales, where it just so happens that the actual house where he's like, okay, he did grow up in a children's home and it was here, mm-hmm. but, you know, he's like, oh, well, maybe I'd go there. I get closure, Dad. Sure. And so they go there, and it's a burnout wreck.
Yes.
But it's very shortly afterwards that he realizes, as the kids show up and pull him back through time, where he discovers that the perfect house his grandfather grew up in with all these kids who are basically the mutants.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
well, they go so far as to explain it the exact same way that Xavier's explains the mutants, where it's like, it's a mutation in the genes, and every generation settles like, Eric? Is that you?
They're trapped in 1943 at the exact day before the house got bombed by the Nazis. And so every night, right before the bomb hits, they go back 24 hours. And all these kids who are immortal, basically, in this time loop, but also never age, mm-hmm. just keep living the same days again.
Yeah.
And, you know, he goes there. He's immediately smitten by the hot blonde.
Sure, of course.
There's a moment where he's like she's like, I understand you want to go back to your time. And it's come down to, like, they need him to help them survive.
Yeah.
And he's like, there's only one thing that could make me stay here. It's like, so what you're saying is, if you can't get laid, I'm out of here.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, either we're going to do stuff or I'm going to let you all die. Yeah. So.
But they find out there's this group of people called the Hallows who are other...
Slendermen.
Other peculiars led by Samuel Jackson that found a way to... make themselves immortal-ish, but it also turned them into huge, creepy-looking monsters.
Yeah, I am okay with Samuel L. Jackson playing villains from here on out.
Well, it was a very effective use of scenery that he chewed.
Oh, yeah, he had to probably get his stomach pumped from all the scenery that's lodged in there now.
And in a very, I don't know if this is from the book or not, and I haven't read it, but it felt like a Burton-esque touch that part of their whole thing they need to keep from being just giant monsters and they can kind of regain some of their humanity is eating the eyeballs.
See, that's the thing that
the children.
That's the thing that felt the most Del Toro to me is this weird thing with eyeballs. Like it felt like the monster itself feels like a bigger Slenderman-y version of the weird thing from Pan's Labyrinth.
Yeah.
With the eyeballs and the palms.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, this feels like the monsters feel like Guillermo del Toro's Slenderman, which is now a movie I desperately want to see.
It looked kind of like Jack from Nightmare Before Christmas.
True.
If he had a rage attack and mutated up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. If he was a fish man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, it turns into a big adventure, and they have to save Eva Green, who is wonderful, as always, here as Miss Peregrine, who can turn into a Peregrine Falcon.
As you would expect.
But she's just got this great sort of, like, I know everything, and I'm kind yet firm, and I'm also quirky.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's a very strong character, and I like the fact that they go out of their way to develop her as a strong character, but then... within the story, get her out of the way and let the kids shine.
Yes.
Because this could have just as easily been Eva Green fights off all the monsters and the kids are just kids. But, I mean, they really, like... I can understand the appeal of this story for young adults is that, you know, it's got that sort of Amblin touch where it's like the kids are taking on the supernatural threat and the supernatural threat led by Samuel L. Jackson, which, again, I think he is tremendous in this. And I thought, you know, I do want to see him playing villains from here on out. And I'm calling it right now. Here's your Oscar. Congratulations, Colleen Atwood, because fuck me, are the costumes in this great.
Oh, yeah.
This is, like, just start clearing the space on your mantle now, Colleen. You got another statue coming.
I mean, once again, X-Men children in the 1940s, it's got a distinctive look.
Yeah. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but, like, I kept looking at Eva Green's dress,
mm-hmm.
and, like, the way it was formed, it almost looked like feathers, but without being, like, crazy Mardi Gras ostentatious, and had, like, these cool I was just like... wow, this is the most I've noticed, like, costuming in a while. And I was just like, yep, that is, that's another Oscar for Colleen Atwood.
Yeah, I,
who probably has, like, 24 by now, I but, mean, you know.
This is the one thing about Burton films you can always say. Usually the sense of design, at least, is quite well thought out.
Yeah.
And that is true here as well, even though, like I said, some of the more irritating Burtonisms of the last 15 years or so have been very much smoothed over. They've been pushed to the side.
Yeah.
And he sort of brings them in when it makes sense in the story.
Yeah.
Like, there's this one character whose whole thing is he can make arts,
yeah,
and then put them in inanimate things and bring them to life.
Yes.
And it's very kind of morbid and creepy as hell.
Oh, it's
when
creepy
it
as all fuck.
Yeah, and that's like, you know, totally one of those, okay, this is Burton going, haha, I'm going to put my thing in.
It is, and especially since in those moments we get, like, claymation, like, just the yeah. briefest moments of claymation. But again, where this excels beyond what we've gotten in sort of the nouveau Tim Burton is that there are real stakes. Bad things really happen, and sometimes bad things happen to children. And there are moments of real emotion. There are moments where you really feel for these characters. It's not just effects. It's not just production design, which I feel has been the biggest problem with Tim Burton for many years, is that he's operated more as a production designer than a director. And here I feel performance-wise and just the weight of this world is actually... I can look at him now and go, yes, you're a director again. Congratulations.
Now, I will say I was not totally in love with this. There are issues I had with it. In the third act, I feel it gets a little messy. There's some really cool shit happens, but it starts playing with time jumping and trying to put that stuff together. And at the end, I'm like, I have no idea how they put all those pieces together, but whatever.
Right.
And also, I thought Asa Mrs. Butterworth was...
Not a good actor.
Was a little... He felt like he wasn't really into it.
He's not... he's grown up to... And like, that was my biggest problem. I thought I was going to hate this in the first 5 minutes because he was so dry and, like, almost like he had never been in a movie before.
Yeah.
And especially in the opening scene, he's with, like, a fellow employee from the place that he works, and she was awful, and I was like, if the performances are all this bad in this movie, we're in trouble. And luckily, he doesn't necessarily get much better throughout the course of the film, but there's a cast of characters around him that are really special and really empathetic that you kind of just forget that he's that bad. So.
Yeah, it's true. And he is ultimately just going, wow, at everything. I mean, yeah. It could have been a young Keanu Reeves.
It could have been.
Maybe he's going to end up being really great at the physical stuff.
It's very know. Possible. Very possible.
He's got those eyes, so it's all right.
Yeah.
I will say as well, I love the way he parses out revealing what all the kids can do.
Yes.
Because there'll be things where, like, well, that kid's weird, or has something that's like, well, what is that? And then it's not till an important moment that you're like, oh, that's what that is.
Yeah.
That's what he can do.
Yeah. And yeah, it is cool. And I really like the design of all the kids and their powers, and I thought that was really cool. It's a fun movie to watch, but it's not wholly forgettable.
Yeah.
And I think that sounds like backhanded praise, but, like, that's something that is quite praiseworthy for a Tim Burton film, is finally... I feel like you've built a world. I feel like these are characters I enjoy and would watch more of, which, again, I can't say for a Tim Burton film of this. I mean, like, Big Eyes is a good movie, but it doesn't feel like a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
This is the first Tim Burton movie that feels like a Tim Burton movie that I've wanted to watch again and wanted to see more of this world since...
God knows.
God, I can't, like, maybe Sleepy Hollow? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I gotta reach way back to find another one.
So what is your arbitrary rating for this film?
I am going to give this film... I'm going to go 8 out of 10 Circus Oddities.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I think you liked it a little bit better than me, because I'm not quite willing to go that far. I will say that... I feel like on the list of YA adaptations, this is number 3 of, like, the best ones.
Okay.
After Potter and Hunger Games,
oh,
and then
yeah.
this. And then there's a real big drop-off.
Well, that's number no 4. Small praise, though. Yeah. I mean, there's a shit ton of these things
yeah.
out there.
Yeah, and a real big drop-off to number 4, which is probably The Maze Runner. So I guess there you go. I give this 7 out of 10 floating eyeballs.
There you go.
There you go.
I like it.
Delicious.
Yummy.
Why didn't they serve us eyeballs when we were watching
right?
it? I would have eaten the shit out of some fried eyeballs.
I feel like I was joking, and now I'm concerned about how serious you're taking this.
What? They serve rat at the rats
movie. Oh, that's
movie,
true. That's
so
true.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Guys, if you find me without eyeballs tomorrow, it's Chris's fault. Goodbye.